You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Quick reminder that the next Wake Up Tucson Happy Hour, Dominic's Real Italian, Thornydale and Cortero Farms Road, this Thursday, August 11th, 5 p.m. start, 5:30 p.m. start. Thornydale and Cortero, southeast corner. If you want to make a reservation, that's a good idea just to let us know who's coming. WakeUpTucsonComments@gmail.com. All right, Chris, it's up to you, man.
Hey, Frank Sinatra's on. Holy cow. Ted and I just kept on talking, walking out the door. So I apologize.
You could have called in from the South 12th, your Mexican restaurant.
We'll just keep walking to Medinetto.
Medinetto, so. That's it.
You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Good morning to our production genius, as we call him, and Raymundo Dos.
That's right.
Mr. Greg Gerringer. Greg, good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Also, as you can tell by the beautiful voice, the originator of the Pliskin Acres Convention and Visitor Bureau.
Oh, yeah.
Uncle Ed's Vaccine Canteen. We had it all. You know, we had it all.
And we still do.
We do. You are taking over for the great Raymundo as our operations director or manager, whatever that title is.
Big shoes to fill.
It is. So
jumped right in yesterday and fixed the rubber trim on the bottom of the back door.
Yeah.
Because the bug guy said bugs were getting in.
I've been telling Ray about that for 6 months. That little. I'm just kidding.
You don't even use that door.
We used to, damn it. We used to. How long have you been in radio?
Let's see. When was my first? 1985.
Look at you. Yeah, look at
right
you.
Right out of high school. But does it count that my dad was in radio beforehand, so I've been in radio stations since 1967?
Like Howard Stern's dad was in radio. It's the same thing. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So here you are. You and I have very interesting conversations about this community. You drive around, you got your wife has a business that you do a lot of support work with, you're driving to school with offspring and all that stuff, and coming to work, and you know, you were telling me about an interesting story you had where you went to one of our best convenience stores, which is the Quick Trip.
Yeah.
On Palo Verde, just north of, or Alvernon, south of 22nd, excuse me.
That's right. One of the worst in the city.
Well, the physical place itself is still a nice Quick Trip, but
Quick Trips are all nice. I mean, correct. I think everybody agrees, but the point I was going to make was 2 weeks ago, we were in Mexico City.
That's right.
And Puebla, two cities, 2 hours apart. And in the span of 5 minutes, at the Quick Trip down here, I was accosted by more people wanting stuff
right.
than the entire time I was in Mexico. Now, that sounds insulting, like, well, you know, not insulting Mexico. The point is, once again, here are two really large communities where the poverty rate is still higher than it is here in Tucson.
Right.
And yet, somehow, people there don't approach you unless they're selling goods. You know, like in Puebla, near one of the squares, the Zocalos, where there's a lot of tourists, there are people selling arts and crafts. That's their way of making extra money. They're not just walking up to you, you know, could you have some change for the bus or whatever it is.
So I was just looking up the Puebla, Mexico poverty rate.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the last number they have, I guess, is 2020. Okay.
Okay.
They were 36% of the population in moderate, 5.4 in extreme. So they're pretty much 40% of the population is in some sort of impoverished income demographic, where Tucson is still about 25-26%.
That's right. That's right. It's about 10% higher. Now, Puebla is the fourth largest city in Mexico and the fourth largest metropolitan area. But it also has a pretty solid economy for many people. Volkswagen de Mexico has been there since the 60s. I think there's about 18,000 jobs at that Volkswagen plant. plus thousands of support jobs for companies that supply them. And in the last 10 years, just to the south of Puebla, they've opened an Audi plant.
Nice.
With, I think, another maybe 10,000 jobs, and it's supposed to be one of the most technologically advanced plants in the world. And near it, they've built like an entirely new planned community. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's still a developing middle class in Mexico that continues to grow. But, you know, we were all over Mexico City, including driving through some areas where neighborhoods were a little sketchy, a little dodgy.
Right.
No homeless encampments. Right. I didn't see any in Mexico City itself near where we were staying, which was kind of like an apartment. It was an old Art Deco building, probably built in the 30s, and they'd converted these little apartments into hotel rooms. Great place and a beautiful neighborhood. In fact, it's the neighborhood where my wife grew up in Mexico City in the 1970s. There's a beautiful park right next to it called the Parque de Mexico. One guy on a bench sleeping, covered up. That's the only homeless person that I came across anywhere in that neighborhood. And same thing in Puebla, nobody other than some people like selling some things, you know, approach me. I saw a hobo, if you will, like a guy had a stick of sorts. He had a stick. His bedding was rolled up.
That's sweet.
He was staying somewhere near the hotel because we saw him almost every morning about 7:30 or 8 when our driver would pick us up. And he wasn't bothering anyone. He was just like, okay, I got to walk through here to get to where I'm going. Wasn't approaching anyone, looking for change. And it surprised me. And the only thing I could figure is there must be some social norm.
Right. It's a cultural, social thing that for some reason, the people who are homeless, right? It's either just societally frowned upon. Like, you wouldn't imagine to go panhandle off of somebody in Mexico.
Yeah. I mean, even the tourists, you would think they would say, okay, let's go for the tourists. But it almost reminds me of, I think I told you the story when I went to the World Cup in South Africa in 2010.
Okay.
The entire time we were in South Africa, only once at a hotel in the middle of the Karoo, which is the interior desert, we were in some tiny small town, and a couple of kids asked us for money. That's it. In all the cities we were at in South Africa, I came back, went to my cousin's wedding in Lexington, Kentucky, the home of the University of Kentucky, a town, you know, about the size of Tucson.
Yep.
There, we were staying in a Hilton in downtown Lexington. More people approached me walking out of that Hilton in the course of 5 minutes than in all of Africa.
So I want to give it one more little perspective story related to this, and then we'll get to the next part of, I want to talk about why.
Yeah.
Right? Why, especially Tucson. But so our good friend Rocco from Rocco's Little Chicago was for 2 weeks driving through Milwaukee and Greater Chicago. So this is his post just from yesterday. Driving through Milwaukee and Greater Chicago area, all of it pretty much last month, not even one person strolled out in the traffic in front of my car. Since I got back to Tucson, it's happened every day. We've got a unique thing going on in this town.
Oh, yeah. There's no question. There is absolutely no question that we have something special here.
All right. Let's go to break. Let's visit some great sponsors. You're on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. The first opening meeting of the our panhandling summit is now finished. We're going to go into part two. Olivia Newton-John's covers Johnny Cash. Wake up.
Oh, there we go.
Now, if you don't like Olivia Newton-John, you're an uncaring, cold-hearted bastard. I just want to tell you that. Just telling you that. I'm making that line. We're drawing that line in the sand right now. So, we're commencing our second segment of the Wake Up Tucson 2022 Tucson Panhandling Summit. We have our new operations manager and the production wizard, Greg, here.
Also known as Walk by Don't Walk is the name of our summit.
Wow.
Okay.
Hold on. Let's give him a little ding for that. Okay. Now, so I've had this discussion before with various people. Why are we one of the panhandling capitals of the Western United States? Greg, what's your take?
You know, it is a good question, but there is that massive problem in Phoenix, too. that sprawling encampment that's near the Capitol, I sort of think in this town, especially near Midtown.
Now, I want to verify this. You're talking about the city of Phoenix, right?
That's right. The city of Phoenix. I'm not talking about Gilbert. We're not talking about
any of the other towns around it.
No, but look at here. Where are there massive problems in Oro Valley with homeless? Where are the massive problems in Marana? It's Tucson.
So what is the common denominator between the city of Phoenix and the city of Tucson?
Both democratically led. I mean, of course.
That's where we're at, right?
But I still believe that a lot of the support services geographically are closer to Midtown for homeless.
Right.
So we know that. But at the same time.
And the courts.
Right. I still feel like they sort of play off that liberal guilt.
So, so hold on to that one, because I want to build towards liberal guilt, because I think that's the crowning achievement of this, right?
Okay.
So weather is important.
Well, of course it is.
Right. Weather is important. Right. Support services are important. Right. We have a zillion nonprofits in this community.
Yeah.
Right. And so there's a lot of that going on. Right. There's a freebie factor. We seem to have a lot of places with the way the washes are around here, places to live.
Right.
Right. Well, or at least bunk out overnight if the wash doesn't blow you down the river.
I like the high ground. Like on the side of aviation, there are a few high spots and people have put tents up there and they're kind of like lording over the rest of the homeless. Like, we got the good spot. We're living in the foothills.
What was the name of the guy with all the water and Road Warrior, the new one? The guy that everyone was testifying to.
I don't remember.
It's kind of like that. They're like that guy because they're on the high ground. There's also all those people, those poor people along the railroad track embankment, like around Grant and I-10, which is also the high ground.
Uh-huh.
But those are also the people getting run over by the train.
Right.
Right? I mean, we've had a lot of train runovers in this last year. But then we get to liberal guilt, right? And this is where the rubber meets the road, right?
Yeah.
Is you feel like you're going to give them that $20 and you've done it. You've done your good deed for the day.
Yeah, there is some fulfillment. I had a friend in Phoenix that I work with in radio, loved her to death, but she would just hand out money left and right. And she lived in the Arcadia area of Phoenix. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that.
I am.
You know, great neighborhood. I love that area, but I remember she was like at a payway and she gives a 10 to a homeless guy. And he's like, well, if you can do 10, you can do 20. And she was telling me this and I'm like, well, why do you keep doing it? And it's almost as if she felt a compulsion, like it was her responsibility.
Right. Now, my thing is, look, you know, a lot of us, you know, I'm Catholic, right? Christian. You want to take care of the poor, right? But what you don't understand,
it's not the way to do it,
right? Is in the end, by giving them the money, right? So I was cutting my promo last week. We were talking about this.
Uh-huh.
And you said our good friend Lisa Chastain came in to cut a promo for Gospel Rescue.
They used to come in. She cuts them at their facility now. But nevertheless, when I still produce them. I take the raw audio, place it over their music beds, and we distribute them out to the stations. But I actually enjoy what she does almost every month.
Yeah.
They have real people that have stayed there whose lives have been changed by what they do. And this month, she has the story of a panhandler, a guy who panhandled for years on the streets and admits that the people that were giving him money were enabling him, enabling his addictions and kind of preventing him from seeking the help he needed. And she makes a statement in the commercial about how, and they're running it on TV as well, you may see the TV ad, that while it seems like the right idea to give these people money, it's not. It's not helping them to give them the money. You are actually hurting them.
So most likely, when you give this person $20 because you think you're helping them, who is going to be the ultimate recipient of your $20 in most cases? When you give them $20, is it mostly going to their dealer?
It could be their dealer. It could be booze. What?
Right.
But it's also a case of the help is there if you're willing to get clean.
Oh, it's all over the place.
The help is there if you're willing. I've told that to people. You know, at that Quick Trip, I've been pumping gas and had people approach me, you know, and, you know, why are you acting like that? And I'm like, there is help right down the road if you're willing to take it.
Yep.
Right down Palo Verde, there is help for you. You don't want the help. And that'll lead into this thing I was telling you about last week. We can do it now.
We got a minute for a break.
So. Yeah, let's do it when we come back. These categories that this guy creates. He's a guy that grew up in Southern California.
Right.
And I'd never thought of it in these terms. And I think people might find this interesting. It's where I was telling you about the four categories, the invisible, the pariah, the sane homeless, and the hobo homeless.
Wow. All right. So we're going to, but you are right. Is that if you need help, right? Most of these people know where the help is, right? They really do. Unless they're told so cracked out of their mind, they don't know, right?
Right.
But if you said to a police officer, take me to some place for me to get help, they take you to Gospel Rescue or one of these places in 3 seconds.
Exactly.
Right? So let's do that. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We're going to continue with our panhandling. I'll also tell you when I was in Scottsdale about the signs that they have in their downtown area in relation to panhandling, and we'll talk about that. You're on Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice.
Written by Chip Taylor, the same person who wrote Wild Thing.
Ah, that 70s piano right there. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Remembering Olivia Newton-John. She passed away yesterday at age 73. Also remember this Thursday night is our happy hour at Dominic's Real Italian. Party starts at 5:30. Should end about 7:30 or 8. Please join us. Brooke Sample, live music. It's going to be great. And then, of course, amazing food. So please, please join us. One of our listeners. So the pictures I get sometimes from listeners. So it's this picture of this guy. And she calls him, what, Fat Charles? He's an active panhandler on Ina and La Cholla. I've personally seen him walk to his beautiful F-150 truck. Vaping every time I pass by. He looks like he carries a cell phone. He's almost as fat as Santa. Every day I hold my tongue to tell him to get his blank butt off the streets. Every day he's out there. Doesn't Pima County have an ordinance against it? Pima County does have an ordinance against panhandling on the medians. That is amazingly true. But what happened was Mark Napier, who did actually enforce it, lost an election to a guy with amazingly sweaty armpits, okay, who has pretty much, I guess, told his officers not to enforce it. So that's where you're at with that. And then the other thing is 2345 North Castro, which is behind the El Hueto Canelo on Grant and Oracle there.
Mm-hmm.
I've had three people, Pliskin Acres Patra, Steve just sent me one, and somebody else, sending me this growing homeless camp next to this building, this commercial building, where they got recliners out there. I mean, they got it all. I mean, it's like when the South Park, when the hippie jam fest came and started taking over town and growing larger. It's like that, but homeless. So Greg's here, and he's our new operations director and, of course, a production wizard. And we're doing our first ever panhandling summit. So you have a who's this gentleman you're going to be referring here?
There is a website that I waste tons of time on when I have time to waste, and it's called Quora. And maybe some other people know. It's interesting because people will ask questions, experts in those subjects will answer them, and the more you spend it on there, the subjects, you know, the algorithm will find the subjects you like. With me, there's tons of things about sports, but I stumbled across this.
The old Quora rabbit hole.
Yeah, the Quora rabbit hole. Gotcha. And it was the question, what's your opinion about the homeless people in the USA? So the guy that answers it is a longtime Southern California resident. And he basically broke the homeless down into four categories, and it makes a lot of sense. First category is the invisible homeless. These are people who were middle class, fell on hard times. Many of them have enough money to have a gym membership so they can still shower.
Right.
They're still working. It's true in California, there was a point where, you know, in Silicon Valley, people were coming in and taking jobs, couldn't find anywhere to live. They were living out of their car.
Right.
And then some of the people in California that have fallen into homelessness, this is kind of who they are. Enough money to get by, but not enough money to have a place.
Gotcha.
The second category, which we have scores of in this city, are the pariah homeless. These are people that are extremely mentally ill or severe drug addicts.
Now, I got to explain this to the Home of Champions and the TUSD school board. Pariah, it means outcast. Just want to let you guys know that.
Yes.
Keep going.
The third are the sane homeless. And these are the people that really, they're just awful people. You know, they're bitter. They're nasty. They, you know.
So what's the difference? So what? So let's go back to Pariah.
The sane homeless that he's categorizing, we'll just see what he writes. These are the hardest to ignore. They face the same challenges as the pariah, but are fundamentally sane, sober, normal people. The upshot is they can do well when given assistance, but sometimes they just don't want to help themselves. But the fourth category has been around for years. Matt, can you bring up Roger Miller, King of the Road?
Absolutely.
The hobo homeless.
Right.
It's a lifestyle for these people. You know, they're the kind that used to ride the trains and you had the railroad detectives hunting them down. The old, stuff tied on the end of the stick.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, the thing about the hobo, right, is the hobo used to be kind of a little bit of a noble occupation.
Yeah.
Right? They took care of their crap, right? They took care of their, they kind of took care of their things. They had some sort of skills, right? They just didn't want to be tied down in any one place. That's right. That's my take on the hobo. Does that sound accurate?
It is, but they still, you know, are part of that population.
Right.
Again, but when you look at those four categories, there is no question that Tucson has more pariah homeless than anything else. Because when you encounter these people, you know, most of them, you know they're addicted. You know they might have had an issue with opioids. You know, I don't think it was cannabis or cocaine that put them on the streets. You know, so, I mean,
let's go to Eastside Matt. He's got a question. Matt, you're on line 7.
Well, I think, thanks, guys. First, longtime listener, first time caller. Just got this new Neumann telephone. Anyway, there's another category, and it fits. It's kind of a subcategory of the sane homeless.
Uh-huh.
And it's people that are on the lam. Like they're dropping off the grid because they did something bad somewhere else.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, so it kind of fits in with your sane homeless folks.
Yeah, there is probably a reason that they do that. And then there are those people, too. They're not homeless. We're dealing with panhandlers, too. I still think that there are a lot of people who are on disability, receiving state assistance, and can't work.
Right.
So therefore, hey, why not go out and hit the corner? You know, they're not there anymore, but for a long time, the Sprouts over at Broadway and Pantano, there would be homeless people over there. A lot of the same guys would work it, and they were all clean. And
Know your audience.
Yeah, it was, but it's that whole thing of, like, you know, hitting up a Whole Foods parking lot. You know there's going to be people with the Subarus and the Priuses and the stickers on the back.
Right, you can't be too dirty.
Yeah, but they're preying off that, you know, liberal guilt or whatever. Like, let's hit up the places where we know they're going to give us money.
Oh, that's the perfect. Whole Foods is the perfect place to hit up for that.
Yeah, if they would, you know, not throw you out of the parking lot. Like, well, I think if you went to the one at River and Craycroft, I don't think you'd last long. Somebody would get you out of there.
So, in the end, you have that liberal guilt, but at the same time, with our position close to the Mexican border, all right, and this flow of fentanyl and these very cheap drugs flowing through here, mm-hmm. I mean, This is really the anchor of what's keeping this whole, that's the dynamic, I think, of a good portion of these folks' lives, right?
It is, and in that first category that I mentioned amongst the invisible homeless, like they mentioned, there are also people. The massive encampment over here on Golf Links where people were parking beside the tents, there is a huge segment of that where they've basically said, we are so beholden to our opioid addiction that we're going to choose to be homeless. We'll keep our car,
right,
but we're going to service our habit daily. And if we have to live in a tent in order to do it, we're going to continue to do that. And yes, that flow of drugs, like you talked about, plays a big role in that. Yeah.
'Cause there's that inverse relationship, right? Which is the lower the price of the fentanyl and stuff, mm-hmm. right? The more people become zombies, right? It's just the way it is.
That's right.
And that's why we have so much of this petty crime going on, right? Because that's what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
They're feeding the habit, right? And part of that petty crime in the end are the panhandlers and the squishies that give them the $20 blindly.
Well, in my hometown of Ashland, Kentucky, population 25,000, Rust Belt City, where the steel mills all closed down, great place to grow up. But my dad still lives back there. And, you know, Appalachia was particularly hard hit by the pills, the
sure.
OxyContin, before the fentanyl came along. But this little town where nothing ever happened, almost a Mayberry, starting in the late 90s into the early 2000s, property crime went through the roof. You know, they were just breaking into houses, stealing whatever they could. They, you know, we used to leave the door open sure. when I was a kid in the 80s. And now, you know, they're like breaking the back window at my dad's house to steal a digital camera. Now, that was like 15 years ago. But the point was, yes, property crime goes up fast. And it's gone up big time in this city, all over. You know, and it's gotten worse over on the Far East Side where I live. Nothing ever happened. And recently it started to happen because they managed to make their way out there to start stealing stuff.
No, it's pushing.
Yeah.
It's pushing and pushing and pushing. I see it up in some parts of the OV, right? There's my buddy lost his vehicle because there was, and he caught him, he saw it later on the ring, but he was asleep, right? Is the idea the guy checking cars to see if it was open or not.
Right.
Right? And he found one.
Yeah. They'll go through an entire neighborhood and find somebody that leaves the door open. Now, are they taking public transportation up there, you think? To get to the OV?
I don't think so. I think they got a buddy that drives them up there.
No, I just meant if you encounter any, because I still sometimes see the hobos and the panhandlers on the fringes.
Right.
And I always wonder, like, I know part of the East Side issue was the free bus rides. The free bus rides really enabled them to get out there. Like the guy that was by my son's music school, you know, a few weeks ago.
That's true, because we've already had the stories about how the free bus rides have created so much misery on the buses themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Everything bad that you can do with your body with drugs, sex, or violence were going on the buses,
mm-hmm.
Beating up bus drivers and all this other jazz, right? So it makes sense in the world, and Romero and these folks don't realize that when you made it free, you made it easier for all of these panhandlers to spread their misery, or these thieves in the end, you know, people who are drug addicted thieves, to spread out amongst your and really keep the misery nice and spread out evenly.
It should not surprise me in any way, but the fact that somebody can make a decision to do that and not possibly envision the downsides.
No, you're right. They, remember, it's whatever you what the city council does is whatever you think the feel good side of it is. You just focus on that, slap the blinders on, and keep going, no matter what bad happens. Right? Let's get Roberta on the line, 790-2040. Roberta, you're on with Chris and Greg. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Hey.
I've heard on the news that there's a new category of homeless people, and that's senior citizens on Social Security, because people don't want to rent to low-income people. And Social Security is kind of low income. And they're the most responsible tenants. They're going to take care of the place and not wreck it like some young people do. And they usually pay their rent and are good tenants. I know I was able to pay my rent throughout the whole pandemic.
I think our point here, Roberta, is the idea that yes, there's going to be homeless people who are good people who are trying to make the, you know, and financial situations blow up or, and what you're talking about, right? We've talked about this with our friends at Sister Jose about how many people who are right on the edge because of fixed incomes, whether Social Security, became homeless in the last year or so because of the cost of everything going up. We're talking about panhandlers who kind of get in your face.
Mm-hmm.
That's not you. Or any of your people you're talking about, right? We're talking about panhandlers that basically are either aggressively in your face, right? Or hanging out on medians illegally, or doing petty theft to feed a habit, and we just seem to have an explosion of a population of that.
Yeah, because there are people holding down jobs, earning good money, but they don't pay their rent.
Amen. Roberta, thanks for the good call as always. Have a great day. We got one more segment with our friend Greg. 790-2040 is the phone number. Olivia Newton-John covers Little John Denver. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right. Sorry to step on poor Olivia, but we got to get going. Rest in peace, young lady. 790-2040 is the phone number. One of our listeners, Josh, who's very juvenile, wants you to say, we'll give you the whole seat, but you only need the edge, in classic Greg voice.
All right. We'll give you the whole seat, but you only need the edge.
Oh, so damn good. Thank
you. Starts Friday in theaters everywhere.
And then say, in a world.
Oh, not that one.
In a world.
So trite, so overplayed. And, you know, he's been, LaFontaine's been dead for like 25 years.
You could have played him in the movie. That's what I think.
In a world.
Let's go to Carlos Ruiz on line two. Carlos, you're on with Greg and Chris. What's up, buddy?
Oh, we're doing the hobo talk. I love it.
I know.
My favorite topic. Hey, I was driving down the Gulf Links Alvernon curve, and I noticed this really palatial encampment that's tucked into that 100-acre wood.
Oh, yeah.
Area.
Yeah.
So they got beautiful. These are like 4-bedroom tents. They're massive. They're the McMansions of tents.
But, they are, and I've said that about the Gulf Links encampments. They got so big, they had their own suburbs.
Yes.
Are these the ones that were swept away when Dr. Jill came in the town?
They did. Yeah, they cleaned them out, but then they reappeared.
Yeah, they had the Development Services Council in there, and they finally got rid of them when Dr. Jill came. But hey, I've noticed an organization. I particularly see this on Speedway and Swan, where there's every median is taken care of, but there's, and I've seen this happen a number of times, there seems to be a guy that kind of goes around and collects money, or he calls people over to him, and then there's some exchange, and then the guy goes back into the median. So I think there's an organization of placement of panhandlers, because you'd think that if it was so lucrative that people would be fist fighting to get particular spots, but it's always the same people. I think there's a layer of management over these panhandlers to keep it, to keep it civilized.
I guess. You mean like Fagin from Oliver?
Yes,
the head of all
yes,
the pickpockets.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely, there's organization. They meet at the beginning of the day. I think somebody's doing Excel spreadsheets. I mean, seriously, it's like, okay, Bob, you got that corner. Louie, that's yours.
They've got seniority as to who gets what corner.
Yep. Absolutely,
we're giving Tim that corner for Tuesday only. You've earned it, Tim.
good topic.
As Eastside Matt said, with a 3-shopping cart garage.
That's it. You know, the new carts, I saw a guy at Swan and Grant. He was pushing the cart. I stopped to check messages or whatever, and I was by the mattress firm near the fries. So I see the guy pushing the cart. He gets to the edge of the lot, and the wheels lock up.
Oh, that's right. That's the new technology.
And it stops, and he's pushing it. And you can tell him he gets really mad. And then he takes like one thing out of the cart and he walks off, storms off all upset.
Who knew? That's unbelievable. Carlos, thanks for the good call, buddy.
All right, bye-bye.
790-2040 is the phone number. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Well, Mr. Greg, thanks for a nice hour of radio.
Always fun.
Again, this is just something, this touches a nerve with people because they deal with it every day.
Yeah, and for me, it's like when I came on right after going to San Francisco.
Right.
And realizing that our problem here is worse than San Francisco.
It is.
And now I've traveled to technically the heart of a developing nation, and our problem is worse than there.
So I had a friend who just did the family, the family roadster up the Pacific Coast trip. Mm-hmm. Just came back from it last week. He said the only place that's way worse than us is Portland.
Okay.
He says Portland is just an absolute.
And I haven't been. I haven't been.
So they just had that news story where literally the owners of businesses are now trying to block off parts of their sidewalk and stuff with giant pieces of concrete so the homeless won't take it over.
Wow.
That's where we're at. So, all right, sir, thanks for a nice hour.
Congratulations
on the new gig.
Thank you for that as well.
You know, and I always like working with you, so don't screw it up. So,
give me time.
Tomorrow we got Stacy and Courtney from Sands Club talking about football's coming up. We'll talk about that. And then Akash, he's from the president of Americans for Prosperity, will be calling in the 7 o'clock hour. So, and more raid on Trump's compound coverage from all of our – we're going to bring 17 contributors in tomorrow to talk about it. Wake up.